Welcome to the Storefront Church Radio Program. This is your brother in Christ Jesus, Freddie Wilbanks, thanking you for walking through our door, finding us on your radio dial or this radio station's internet connection, or the webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com. Today's program is 1922, and the initial air date for this program is for Sunday, June 2nd, 2019. And on this date, 46 years ago, my wife and I were hitched. We got married. It's amazing she has tolerated me this long, but I thank God for her and the blessing that she has been. June 2nd, 1973. Well, this recording is for June 2nd, 2019. And later in this program, we'll share a message titled, Follow Thou Me. Follow Thou Me. Thank you for praying for and supporting this ministry. There's room for everyone at the Storefront Church. Now that you're here, we want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and worship Him with us. Sponsoring this program is Pilgrim Evangelistic Ministries, proclaiming the life-changing good news about the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through whom by faith we have eternal life. This broadcast is made possible by the financial support of listeners. If you would like to sponsor the Storefront Church radio program, you can donate at our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or by calling area code 989-871-9668. Help us to continue with this radio program and our outreach to the world by contacting us at our webpage at thestorefrontchurch.com with your financial support, or by calling us at area code 989-871-9668. One more time, thestorefrontchurch.com or area code 989-871-9668. Homes by Stoddard's and Stoddard's Classic Cars in Chesaning, Michigan sponsors this program. And we want to thank the volunteers in today's Evangel Band getting ready to join us vocally and going to do a special for us just here in a couple of minutes is Brother Walter Kinsey. Playing that big old grand piano already is Sister Narita Henley. And strumming on that flat top guitar is Brother Clark Harding. Praise the name of the Lord. Agree with us in prayer for a Jesus Christ Holy Ghost revival during this time of reprieve in this nation and around the world. Pray for our fellow citizens, government officials, judges, bureaucrats, the president, and the invaders. Agree with us in prayer for missionaries and veterans, fellow Christians, many who are in harm's way, and some of them have been killed and wounded because of God's word and profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But for now, put your Bible down on one of those homemade pews, pick up one of those dog-eared hymnals, stand or have a seat, and let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today, as I said, we're going to do things just a little bit differently here at the Storefront Church. And at this time, it's my great honor and privilege to call on Brother Walter Kinsey, Sister Narita Henley, and Brother Clark Harding to present with us one of the precious hymns of the church at this time.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross His suffered, set me free. Sing, oh sing. remembering one of the dear old saints in the church where I grew up, my younger years and early adulthood, of a gentleman loved to sing God's praises. And this song, I think you may have heard my sister Narita, but he was like a bass voice and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he loved to do those repeats on that chorus. You know, sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, and then repeat it. He'd sing the repeats. Anyway, and I hope you heard it, caught it. I heard Narita doing a little of the repeats there on that last chorus or whatever.
Do you remember the brother's name?
Yeah, Orville Messerall.
Okay.
He's gone to be with the Lord now, a good Christian man, a good friend of the family, and my father and him were very, very close. Good Christian. We sing this song, you know, I just came from a church with Turned On Saints or... Mm-hmm. And they were praising the Lord. Oh, I immediately thought of, you know, Orville in this particular song. It's funny how certain songs make you think back to certain people.
And brings
but
back,
this was one I think of Orville on.
Bring back wonderful memories. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Clark Harding, would you lead us in prayer this hour, please?
Father God, we'd ask that you would just bless Brother Freddie as he brings forth the word, Lord God. Let us glean something from this and let it get into our soul. And Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for dying upon the cross of Calvary for our sins, Lord, because we cannot ourselves redeem our own self. But you redeemed us. We're going to live forever in glory. In Jesus' name we pray for each and every one that's here today and the ones that are at home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, thank you, loved ones. And here in a little bit, good Lord willing, we'll sing a few more of those precious songs of the church. But as said just a few moments ago, this is message 1922, 1922, and if everything goes well, it will air on Sunday, June 2nd, 2019. And this is the sixth Sunday after Easter and the first Sunday after the Day of Ascension, which most Christendom, those who pay any attention, and I'm not a big one on keeping dates or what have you, but on May 30th of this year, just a few days prior to this supposed recording being aired, it was the day that those who mark dates acknowledge that and remember Jesus Christ ascending from this earth into heaven before the disciples and many, a multitude's very eyes. And what I've suggested at the onset of these messages for the last few weeks is I wanted people to think and question, what are the disciples doing? What is going on during these 40 days? What's happening to the disciples and also with Jesus Christ? And so in just a few moments, we're going to take up this message, Follow Thou Me, and we'll turn to the scriptures. But before we get to there, I do want to thank God for being so good to my wife and I these past 46 years, and this being the day that we commemorate our wedding anniversary. God has blessed us with wonderful children, children-in-law, and grandchildren, and we thank God for every one of them. And we know that barring something unforeseen happening, that this day they will all be in church somewhere worshiping God with their families. And we've got so much to be thankful for. And as Brother Walter said, it's funny how different things bring back memories. Well, I want to share with you, before we get into the message, just one little memory. We have been blessed our whole life, and even 46 years ago, we were blessed. My wife and I were both working, and we were starting out, and we were doing well, and she had purchased this little red Plymouth Duster, a 72 brand new Plymouth Duster, and I had purchased a brand new 1973 red pickup Ford truck. And on the day that we got married, I had a couple of brother-in-laws that were about to become my brother-in-laws, Charlie Reinbolt and Myron Ortner, who were at times characters. They were practical jokers. And here, the best man and I were getting this little red duster ready behind the church, and we were decorating it and getting it fitted with the Just Married sign and the cans and streamers and all this thing and putting on paper mache flowers on it and different things, decorating this car up. And I'm bent over, and my one brother-in-law, or soon-to-be brother-in-law, Melvin Charlie Reinbolt, come up and right in front of my face starts jingling a set of keys. He had one key picked out, and he's jingling his set of keys, and he's saying, okay, buddy, this is your last chance. Here's the keys to my car. And as a matter of fact, before he said that, I said, what are you doing or whatever? And he says, well, these are the keys to my car. This is your last chance to get out of town before you get married. And they had a big laugh. They were both standing there just laughing and yucking it up and everything. And I didn't know what to think. I didn't sometimes know how to take these two fellows very well. And they definitely thought I was weird and didn't know how to take me at times. But I thank God that, you know, I didn't leave town. And I'm thankful that during these last 46 years, my wife hasn't left town either. But the title of today's message is Follow Thou Me. And turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20. And we're going to begin at verse 1. And I truly hope that you have your Bible with you. Now, I know that many of you listen to this program sitting in your favorite chair, sitting at a table, or some of you are out in the shop milling around or what have you, doing various things. But I hope that today you've got your Bible with you, that Bible that is precious to you. Maybe it's one that you bought for yourself. Maybe it's one that somebody gave you at Christmas time. But I trust that you've got your Bible and that if at all possible, you follow along with the Scripture today. Keep me honest, because sometimes I flub up. I mispronounce words. I skip words at times. I sometimes substitute words by mistake. I don't normally do that on purpose unless I specifically tell you that I'm interjecting something or using a similar word or what have you, that you might be able to grasp a thought that I'm trying to share with you. But I pray that you've got a Bible. You need your own Bible. And I know that this message and this broadcast goes down as far as close to Detroit and Dearborn, Michigan, and that there are Muslim people listening to these broadcasts. And I pray that you, even though you may not be a Christian right now, and there's people who were raised in Christian communities who aren't even really Christians. I've joked through the years with my wife, that the definition of a Christian for most people is someone who resides in this country and eats with silverware. That's the common denominator. If they eat with silverware, they must be a Christian. Well, there's more to it than that. And if you're with us during these broadcasts, you know what it is to accept the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. And those of you who maybe are joining us for the first time, or maybe of a different nationality, we pray that you will be spurned by the Holy Spirit to get your own scriptures. I know that there are families and households and places where this is not allowed. But we've got all kinds of rebellion going on around about us. I pray that you are motivated to a righteous rebellion, that you don't destroy something, you don't blow something up, you don't burn down some building, you do not kill somebody or harm somebody. I hope that you express your righteous rebellion by acquiring a Bible that is your own and reading it. And hopefully you've got one today and you're going to open it up and read with us. And we're going to start in St. John, which is in the New Testament, chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, into the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and he went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto her, to him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto him, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither in my finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither in thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Continuing on in John chapter 21. Or verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals, therefore, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify the Lord, glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. This saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now turn to one more portion of Scripture, Let's go back to where we were last week in the book of Luke, chapter 24, but we're going to take up in verse 44. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the psalm concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooveth Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Follow thou me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I hope you had your own Bible. I hope you were following along, and I hope you noticed that I made a couple of mistakes along the way, butchered a couple of words, but I hope that, like many, you are not consumed with my mistakes and my errors. I hope that your mind did not wander because I, being a human being who is fallible and not perfect this side of glory, makes mistakes all the time. I hope that you're not focused on my mistakes, but you instead are focused on the Word of God, because that's what is the most important. The Word of God is most important. I love our program, the Storefront Church. I thank God for this program, and I have no clue how long we'll be able to stay on the air. I don't know if the finances will be there or not, how long they will be there. I do not. There's many things I don't know. I never thought that in May of 2011, when we started broadcasting these programs in this Storefront Church, I had no clue that 8 years later we would still be on the air. And I had no clue that of the things I have occupied my time with here on earth, that this would be, to this point in my life, what I consider being a part of this is one of the most blessed experiences that I've had. I've enjoyed many things. I've enjoyed working in the factory. I've enjoyed playing music. I've enjoyed playing and doing many things and being with many people and experiencing and traveling and all these types of things. I've enjoyed holding elective office and representing people for 20 years in elected office. I thank God for those experiences and the many things that I've been able to enjoy, but of them, of the things that I've occupied my time with, this time, this last 8 years, which has gone by like a streak of lightning, this is the thing that I'm personally pleased with, because I'm reminded, I've been reminded over and over again, of all the things that I've done in life in these years walking, these decades walking on the face of the earth. Only those things what I do with a pure heart and clean hands unto the Lord God, those are the only things that matter. You know, that was nice being an elected official for 20 years and having the respect and also the antagonism. Now I can look back at some of the antagonism and some of the so-called persecution and dirty politics, and I can laugh at it. It wasn't laughable at the time, but I enjoyed that time, and that was really something, and I thank God for allowing me to experience those things and the many other things. But I can truly say that I have enjoyed this, laboring over this, praying over this, and being a part of this. Have no clue how long it will go on. When God opened the door for us to do this, I didn't know if it would be for 6 months or how long it would be. But I praise and thank God for all this time, and whatever days He may give us, I thank Him in advance for whatever He may give us. And so it is that I'm full of joy and thanksgiving towards the Lord to be able to come with you and share with you the scriptures today and encourage you to read the Bible for yourself and read these scriptures for yourself, because Jesus Christ, coming to this earth, living a sinless life, suffering at the hands of the abusers that He was abused by, dying on the cross for our sins, being buried in another man, a rich man's tomb, rising from the dead after ascending into hell, and arising from the dead and showing Himself to many witnesses, and then ascending to God the Father and being at His right hand, being able to share this is the greatest thing in this life. It may not seem like it in the eyes of the world, or maybe even some of my so-called associates, friends, or relatives, but this is the greatest honor and privilege that I've had to experience, or labor, or work, or activity that I've been a part of. And I've enjoyed many other things. Jesus speaks to those that he reveals Himself to, and Mary Magdalene and these disciples. And one of the things that stands out to me is, as far as yet, they knew not the Scripture. Back in that ninth verse of John chapter 20, for as yet they knew not the Scriptures. There are people who've read the Bible, who've read the Scriptures. Some of them have even memorized the Scriptures. Some of them have a doctorate in some element of studying the Scriptures. There are those who have dedicated their lives to learning Greek and Hebrew, and they can show you all the symbols and make all the connections to the Middle Eastern and the Israel traditions and all these things, and they know all this, but they know not the Scripture. There are people who have accomplished all these things, and they are just like those disciples. They know not the Scriptures. But praise God, the Lord Jesus opened the Scriptures to them and opened their understanding. I've been blessed to be able to read through the Bible a couple of times from cover to cover. I don't know it all, don't remember it all, don't have it all memorized. But every time that I've gone through it, the Lord has allowed me to see something else and to touch me something with something I missed. And as we were going through the scriptures today, the brother talked about after the special, Brother Walter talked about that saint of God that he was reminded of. And as I was reading and sharing with you the scripture, I was reminded of a saint of God that I had the pleasure of being in contact with years, one sister, Agnes McNally. And this woman had read and reread the Bible multiple times a year for many decades. And after the fact, when I first started in the ministry and first started public speaking in the church and in the congregation, she would be one of those in those early years when I first started out who was sitting there on that in that second pew back from the altar, back from the podium, and sitting there and looking and listening. And whether she was or not, she had me convinced that she was hanging on every word. Now, here is someone who has read and reread the Bible time after time after time, and yet she was gracious enough to sit there and give me her attention as if I was the first one she'd ever heard that portion of Scripture from. And she had been blessed with being under various and different pastors. And that was a memory that came back to me. And I remember of how gracious she was. I remember now that on some of my theology and some of my points of view, I'm sure that I was way off base. I was way out of whack. And yet she was gracious. She never come up, even though she knew that I was ignorant. She never come up to me after service and said, you know, after reading the Bible 100 or 1,000 times now, I want to point out to you that you missed this point and you're askewed here, what have you. No, those who've heard the Word of God time after time, many of them love it best and love to hear it again and again. Because every time the Word of God is open, every time the Lord speaks to us through His Word, we can learn something new and afresh. And in this portion of Scripture that I want to point out to you, some of you have read this, and you've seen here and earlier in this chapter when John, and he's talking about himself here, when he went in the tomb and saw that place where Jesus had laid, it says that disciple, that he believed. He was a believer. He believed that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, that he was no longer there. And yet, even though he was a believer, later on we see in the 22nd verse of that 20th chapter, where Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, if they had it all, they knew it all, they had been with Jesus 3 years, they had seen his death, burial, and resurrection, they had seen him and his new body being revealed to them, if they had it all, he would not have breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, that's going to trouble some of you, but some of you don't have a bunch of baggage. And so I want you to pray about that. I want you to pray about that portion of Scripture where it says he believed. He saw the evidence and he believed. And at a later time, this disciple being among some of the others, Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Down in the 26th verse of the 20th chapter, we read, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" Now, what was the disciples doing during these 40 days? Well, part of the Scripture tells us here that they were cowering in fear of the Jews. They knew what Jesus said, but the Scripture hadn't been revealed to them, open to them. They knew the Scripture, but they really didn't know it. There are people who know things but really don't know them, and so the disciples are falling into this category. But here Jesus once again reveals himself, and like I said, I ask you, what are the disciples doing? They're in turmoil. They're stewing over all these things that they've seen with Jesus the last 3 years, with what Jesus has said to them, and now they're in turmoil. And Jesus, on occasion here, in this scripture portion of Scripture here, says he reveals himself the second time to these disciples. And let me remind you of last time when we talked about Cleopas and the two that were on the road to Emmaus and all these sort of things, that the disciples weren't the only ones that Jesus revealed himself to. But here, John makes note that this was the second time he had revealed himself to the disciples. And it goes on, and here again we may repeat ourselves in a moment, he revealed himself the third time. And we also know that if we study the Scripture, that when Jesus ascends into heaven, I think it's logical for us to conclude that Jesus showed himself to the disciples themselves at least 4 times and probably more in that 40-day period. Also, at this time in this particular chapter, we have the words where Jesus is talking to Thomas. And these words should be encouragement to you, because there are those people, as we shared a few weeks ago, who see where God, regardless of theologians and how they want to put God in a box and limit what God can do whatever he wants to do. And just like he showed Jesus showed himself, and angels revealed themselves to the children over there who were being attacked by the Islamists in the continent of Africa. Jesus can do anything. God can do anything that he wants. But Jesus rebukes Thomas and says unto him, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And as that pastor shared, that we shared with you in a couple messages past, he said unto the one questioning and quizzing him, "You have the word of God. These people do not have the written word of God." We as Christians have failed. We as Americans have failed in our mission to take the world. Our mission was to take the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ, to the entire world, and we have not done it. Oh, forgive us, Lord God. It also says that he and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through him. So here John himself is writing, these things are written, that even though you don't see a physical manifestation of Christ, even though you don't see two young men at the tomb, even though you may travel to Israel today and go to that traditional place of where Jesus was buried, and you don't see two angels there, these things are written that you are without excuse, and that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you might have salvation through his name. In the 21st chapter today, something that I wanted to highlight and share with you and draw your attention to again is verse 14. Now this the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So here's John's account again. John's account again saying, the disciples have seen the risen Savior. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Peter, in verse 21, it says, "Seeing him, saith Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" Reminds me of something that we all need to be reminded of from time to time. What God does with, to, or for somebody is no concern of ours. Not everybody is going to be and have the witness of Billy Graham. Not everybody is going to experience every blessing and revelation or manifestation or what have you. But that should not keep us from listening to the words of Jesus that said, "Follow thou me." Too much of time, even in Christendom, even in the church, even among believers, too many people are worried about, "Well, God, what about them? What are they doing?" Jesus rebukes Peter, and he rebukes you if you have enough sense to understand it and receive it. Don't worry about what's going on. You know, there's going to be people, if you choose to follow Christ, there are going to be people who have experiences and blessings from God that you don't have. And on the same token, there are going to be people that do not, if you're really seeking God's face and favor and his will for your life and being obedient to his commands, there are going to be people who don't experience the blessings that you receive. And so Jesus Christ said to Peter, Jesus Christ says to me, to you, and to whoever comes behind us, don't worry about what God does for or blesses with others. Follow thou me. You follow me. You do what I've told you to do, and don't worry about it. Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? What is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" And this reminds me once again of our theology. All of us have a theology. My wife was watching a program earlier this hour, this day, or what have you, on the television, and it was a nice little family situation, and this little boy come running in, and He was talking to, I believe, an older brother or someone older in the family, an adult, a young adult. And he explained to the dream that he'd had and all this. And this young man come back and gave him his like description of what heaven is and what went on in his life. And in that episode, that man had theology. He by his words, he acknowledged that there was a God. He acknowledged that there are angels of God and this thing. But really, what he was sharing with this young boy did not line up with Scripture. But that's his theology. There's many things in people's theology that do not line up with Scripture. And what this is an example of is that there were those who heard what Jesus said to Peter about John, and they ran with it. They took it and they ran with it. Oh, John's not going to die. John's going to live until Jesus returns. And there are people who were probably trying to build a church, making it like today, that the church of John never dying. That's their theology. That's their whole thrust. That's all they're talking about. That's all they talk to people about. And their theology is based upon something that they misread, didn't hear, didn't listen to properly, and did not weigh in relationship to the rest of God's word or what Jesus was saying. I'm here to tell you that if Jesus wanted John to live all these centuries, all through these past two millennia, that John could have lived through it. But that was not God's will. That's not what happened. John lived a long life. John lived in latter years a tortured life, if you will. History tells us that he was treated terribly. Many terrible things happened to John in his long life. But Jesus is telling Peter, he's telling me, he's telling you, you follow me, thou follow me. You do what I tell you to do, and don't worry about anybody else. And this is a big problem in our church, in our families. We're all worried about what somebody else is getting, what somebody else is doing, when we need to be on our knees praying, God, help me to do as Jesus commanded us, follow thou me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. That's too heavy for some of you. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Are you praying that God opens your understanding, that you understand the Scriptures? And Jesus tells them that, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he goes on and tells them, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They already seen the risen Lord. They already believe. But as Jesus tells them to go back in this city as he's ascending and tarry till you receive power from on high. And what did they do? What were these disciples doing? Today, as we look and we're looking at what Jesus did, revealing himself to the disciples, and how the disciples went through many things. One of those things was cowering in fear of the Jewish authorities. But one of the things that they were doing after Jesus ascended into heaven is they obeyed. Some of them obeyed, and they went back to the temple and they stayed in it continually in the temple, praising and praising God. And so from the time that Jesus arose and showed himself to them disciples for 40 days, and until the time in which he ascended up into heaven, from that point, from the time he ascended up to heaven, those disciples went back and they obeyed Jesus. Not all of them, some of them went back, and they stayed in the temple, and they were praising and blessing and praying to God. They were doing what Jesus commanded, follow thou me. Are you following Jesus Christ today? If you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do so. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, glory to God in the highest. I'm so thankful that you have come with us. And let's sing that song together, Isn't He Wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I trust that you know it. Praise the name of the Lord. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful?
Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Yes, He is.
Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Amen. He is wonderful. Well, take them old hymnals and turn to hymn number 476. 476. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by His side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by His grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, was a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of His wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise Him till all men His goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad. have a song of praise in your heart today. Let's turn to hymn number 304. 304. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. So sweet, the birds hush their singing.